Matthew chapter 1, and we'll look at verse number 18. We'll read the rest of the chapter, verse number 18, Matthew chapter number 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Everybody understand what that means? Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and Joseph is called her husband before they came together. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to preach to you just a few minutes on more than a baby. He's more than a baby. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. Good number of folks here are visitors. We're glad you sent them our way. For whatever reason they're here, God, I pray that you'd feed their soul for whatever they're looking for. So, God, I pray that you'd help us now. Save that one that's near his tail. And, God, you encourage those of us that are saved. Some of us are going through rough days. But, God, I pray that you'd encourage us through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. The year was 1809. And the international scene was in turmoil. Napoleon was sweeping across Australia, and people were dying all over the place. Nobody was thinking about the birth of any babies. And if they had news back then, the news would tell you that history is being made on the battlegrounds of Australia. But in 1809, while they were fighting, there was a man by the name of William Gladstone was born. He was going to become England's finest statesman. That same year, Alfred Tennyson was born. He was born to a preacher and his wife. And this man would grow up and greatly affect the literary world. Here in America, there was a man the same year. Oliver Wendell Holmes was born in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He was a doctor and a famous poet. Not far from Boston, Edgar Allan Poe was born at that particular time. It was also in that same year that a physician with the last name of Darwin and his wife named their child Charles Robert Darwin. And that same year produced the cries of a newborn infant in a log cabin in Hardin County, Kentucky. This baby's name was Abraham Lincoln. And like I said, if the newspapers were in existence and all the TV and NBC and ABC and whatever else, they would have been concentrating on Napoleon sweeping through Australia. But my friend, history was being changed in the cradles of America and England by people like Abraham Lincoln and Edgar Allan Poe, some of these great people. History was being changed from the very cradle. You say, why in the world did you tell us all of that stuff? I'm just telling you this way before that. history was changed by a young Jewish woman. She cradled the biggest news of all ages. And His name is the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. On that first Christmas night was the greatest birth in history ever recorded. Never been a baby born. Never that affected history like this baby has affected history. Never been a birth like this birth. Never been a baby like this baby. This baby was born of a virgin. This birth was like no other, and this baby was like no other, and this baby is not your ordinary baby. Joseph was made aware that this baby was more than just a baby. Angel of the Lord appearing unto him in a dream, and Joseph in the events of those days left him perplexed and troubled. He had been espoused to this young lady. She turns up pregnant. He knows the truth. He's in a situation. I mean, what does he do? Does he trust her? She says, "Oh no! Oh no!" He says, "Well, something's going on around here. We need to know what it is." But he went to bed that night, and the angel of the Lord came unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." She's telling you the truth. You believe her. You love her. And don't worry about what the world says. Don't worry about what everybody else says. They're going to condemn you anyway. You stay true. You stay pure. That baby that's going to be born of her is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph said, "Well, that ought to handle the situation, but Holy Ghost, if you're telling the truth, and I believe you are, then this baby, it's going to be more than just a baby. It's going to be more than just a baby." Let me give you 3 points, and I'm through. Number one, the name of the baby. Verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." There's a couple of things about the names of babies. Number one, it's an appointed name. It's an appointed name. Now, there's a poll, and all these polls, you know, they say that 98.6% of all polls are made up. But they say 21% of the parents, they choose a name for a baby based upon somebody in their family. They'll name them after grandma, grandpa, somebody in their family. They'll name the kid after somebody in their family. And 2% of those would name a child after geographical location, wherever they're from. 12% were naming their child based upon religious preference. You know, like Kareem, Abdul, Jabbar, and all of that. We don't need to go there. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Muhammad Ali. That ain't the name your mama gave you. Somebody told me Buckwheat has done went Muslim. He changed his name to a Karima Wheat. Names are important. As far as Mary and Joseph were concerned, they didn't have to make that decision. That decision was already made for them. This baby was not named after Joseph. This baby was not named after Mary. This baby was not named after any member of the family. This name was given to him from the courtroom of heaven. It came from God Almighty. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. It was an appointed name, but it was an appropriate name too. They say Aaron in the Bible. Aaron. All these Bible names have meanings and things. Aaron is a Hebrew name. Means lofty, exalted, high mountain. Abraham in the Bible means father of many. Well, ain't that the truth? Moses, his name meant deliverer. What did he do? He delivered the people from the land of Egypt. It was amazing how these parents would come up with this name, and these kids would grow up to live up to and do and perform whatever their name meant. Jacob in the Bible, trickster. And he winds up tricking his brother. He winds up tricking, and it all comes back around on him and whatever. But no baby's name ever fit more appropriately than the name of Jesus. The J-E. J-E. That speaks of Jehovah. J-E. And then the S-U-S means Savior. So if you put Jesus together, J-E, Jehovah, S-U-S, Savior, Jesus is Savior. I mean, He lived up to that name, don't you agree? I mean, how fitting. Verse 21 says, He shall save His people from their sin. The name of Jesus Christ comes through all the Bible. It doesn't just start in Matthew. I mean, it starts way back in Genesis, all the way through to the book of the Revelation. If you read a page of the Bible, you read a chapter of the Bible, and you didn't find Jesus, you need to go back and read it because you missed something. Every page on your Bible points to the one that it's all about, and His name is Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Peter tells us in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, he says at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh yes, it's a good name. It's a sweet name. I like it. It sure beats Santa Claus any day of the week. Jesus is the... I mean, hallelujah on Jesus. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need would have been money, He'd have sent us a banker. If our greatest need was pleasure, He'd have sent us an entertainer. But my friend, our greatest need was forgiveness. So He sent us a Savior from heaven, condescended upon this earth, left heaven's holy estate, came down to the sinful abode of sinful man, walked in our shoes. He bled and died for the sins of the whole world. Now let me say this, it might be a puzzling to you. You can't be saved just on the name Jesus alone. Judas knew Him as Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus was His humanity name. You say, oh, I don't know if anybody can be saved without Jesus. Oh, I understand what you're saying. But you understand everybody knows who Jesus is. Why, sure, we know Jesus. If history is true, which we believe the history is true, that Jesus did live. But my friend, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He better be more to you than just the name Jesus. That's what I'm trying to get around to. He better be more to you than just Jesus. He better be Lord Jesus Christ. There had to be a time and a place where you realize that. Number one, the name of the baby. Number two, the nature of this baby. The name of the baby is Jesus, but the nature of this baby in verse 23 says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. which being interpreted is God with us. Isn't that odd? God with us. You realize that God, all He's ever wanted to do was dwell with us. The reason He created Adam and Eve in the garden. He created that garden so He could walk with them in the cool of the day because He wanted to be with them. And sin entered into the world. And God, it separated God and man. And the sin, God had to disperse from the Garden of Eden, never to return again because sin had separated God and man. Then they came up with this tabernacle thing in the Old Testament. That's how God was going to tabernacle with man through the pages of the Old Testament, was through the tabernacle. And then after the Old Testament is done, the tabernacle's finished, and Jesus Christ tabernacles with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt, same word, tabernacled with us. Jesus Christ came, left heaven's splendor to come. Do you realize, people? I know we hear Christmas sermons every year, and I know it gets redundant. We know about the virgin birth. We know about this. But have you ever stopped to realize that it would have been a whole lot easier just to wipe Adam and Eve off of the face of the map and start over with somebody that was sinless and perfect and start all over again? No, yes, it would have been a whole lot easier. But God, Jesus Christ stood up and said, I'll go down there. I love them people. I love them people so much. I'm willing to come and be sin for them who knew no sin and became the righteousness of God through Him. It's a miraculous conception. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. This is no ordinary birth. This is no ordinary birth. 700 years. Get this, people. 700 years before Jesus was born. Muhammad can't say this. Buddha can't say this. And whoever else can't say this. But 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah wrote about it. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. 700 years before Jesus showed up, Isaiah knew about it. No, this is not just an ordinary baby. This is just not an ordinary birth. The doubters and the deniers say that the virgin birth is physically impossible. And you know what? You may think this odd, but I agree with them. It is physically impossible. You say, well, you don't believe in the virgin birth? I sure do. Because we're not talking about the physical. We're talking about the supernatural. And with God, all things are possible. I agree. It's an impossible conception to think that a baby could be born without a dad or without a father, rather. You ever thought about this? This ain't even in the notes. This is a little extra. When Joseph went to sleep, the angel Lord appeared unto him. Jesus' earthly dad got a message from Jesus' heavenly Father. Now, won't that make you pull your hair out? Jesus, you say, Joseph was his earthly... Well, sure he was his earthly dad. He didn't have anything to do with his birth. He was his dad. He nurtured him and carried on with him and raised that boy. But Joseph, he got a message. Jesus' dad got a message. Boy, I'm going to preach on that one of these days. Jesus' dad got a message from Jesus' father. Well, hallelujah. That's blessing me a little more than it is some of you. Luke 1:34, you want to turn there. But Mary said this, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I don't have to explain to you that. Y'all know what that means. Angel answered her in verse 37 says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So you're going to have the doubters, you're going to have the deniers, but my friend, it's the virgin birth. You can't be saved without the virgin birth. You can't be saved unless you believe about the virgin birth. It is a fundamental of the faith that we believe the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Why do we think that's so odd? God created man without a father or a mother. And then He created that man's wife from a man without a mama. And then when you come along, He created you by a man and a woman. And by the way, that's the only way it works. And then when Jesus come along, Jesus came with a mama without a father. God, when God is involved and plugged into the equation, all things are possible. This virgin birth was a necessity. He was the infinite who became an infant. Back before time started, He laid on the bosom of His Father without a mama. In time, He laid on the bosom of His mother without a papa. When He was born, He was older than His mama and just as old as His father. He's the Ancient of Days. He said, "Behold, before Abraham was, I am." Can you imagine a baby being born, looking up into his mama's eyes and say, "Boy, I remember the day when I created you." It was a miraculous conception. It was a gracious condescending. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about Jesus walked through the pages of the Old Testament. He came through there, the picture of the angel of the Lord. I mean, who you think it was that ate supper with Abraham? The angel of the Lord. That's Jesus. Who you think spoke this world in existence? Jesus. I mean, who you think it was with the fourth man in the fire? They looked at it and said, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, I thought we threw in 3. I'm seeing 4. And the fourth appears to be the Son of God. And let me say this. This is a little extra. This ain't in the notes. If your Bible says a son of the gods, see me after church and we'll get you a good Bible. This angel was declaring His name should be called Emmanuel, God with us. Can you imagine God wanting to be with us? Wanting to be with us? I can't fathom that. One of my favorite scriptures of all time, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, a seed of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. His name is Jesus, and without controversy, He's the greatest that's ever lived. Not only His name Jesus, His name Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus had a birth, but He had no beginning. There was a moment when He became man, but He had always been God. Emmanuel. My friend, the real meaning of Christmas is not the lights, even though they're beautiful. It's not about all of that stuff. It's not about shopping. It's not about Black Friday. Boy, I could pull up right there. Some of you folks got up at 3 and 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning to go stand in line somewhere for some stupid toy or some stupid foot warmers or and to buy gifts for people you don't even like. And it's like pulling hen's teeth trying to get people to come to church and be here at 10 and 11 o'clock. We're not going to have Black Friday. We're going to have Hallelujah Sunday. Next Sunday we pull up. Boy, I'm telling you what, people are going to be lined up all the way back to the red light waiting to get in here to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Something wrong. Something wrong. Jesus is the greatest that's ever been. Emmanuel, God with us. Well, I got to hurry. Hey, we got the name of the baby, the nature of the baby, but lastly, and I'm done, the need for the baby. Why in the world we need this baby? We've had a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them around here. I don't know what's going on here in the water or whatever, but don't drink out of that water fountain out there. Man, we got babies running out of our ears around here. But I'm telling you what, this baby that I'm talking about this morning is no ordinary baby. The need, we had to have this baby. We had to have this baby. Because verse 21 says, "For He shall save His people from their sins." Yes, it is a verse pertaining to Jesus coming to deliver the nation of Israel. Oh, did they have a lot of sin piled up from the Old Testament? Oh boy, did that nation have a bunch of sins tied up in the Old Testament and now done worked over into the New Testament. But my friend, Jesus came to save His people from their sin. But on the other side of the coin, the door was swung wide open for the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The reason we had the need for this baby is because we got a sin problem. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All means all. Sin separates us from God. And the holiness of God cannot allow sinful man in His presence. So we're in trouble. If we're all sinners in this room, including me, including the Pope, including Mother Teresa, including everybody else, including everybody you know. Everybody in this world was born a sinner. Except one. And that one that was born sinless is going to redeem all the rest of them that were born sinners. If they'll accept Him and trust Him. He said, "If they'll come to Me, I will in no wise cast out." The sin problem. We got a sin problem. There ain't a person in here. We've had three children of our own. I can verify with both hands up, as Wendy Bagel would say. We didn't never have to teach them how to lie. Never had to teach them how to steal. Never had to teach them how to tell a cheat on a test. You say, "Your kid?" Yeah, preacher's kids. There ain't no different yours. Hallelujah. Everybody thinks the preacher's kids ought to be something up here and yours ought to live like they want to. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody's got a sin problem. You say, "What are we going to do? We can't go to heaven. Sin has separated God and man." Well, Jesus, that's the need of the baby. This is the need. We had to have this baby. I mean, look, people. Jesus Christ came to save the world. If they would trust Him and accept Him. Christmas, if you're still thinking Christmas is all about gifts and all about a tree and all about Santa Claus and all about this and all about that and all, listen, I don't want to upset some of you fellas, y'all fundamental, you know everything. But look, that's all got its place and its rightful place. But I'm telling you, the real meaning of Christmas is Jesus Christ. And don't put an X. Must keep Christ in Christmas. And all them places that say happy holidays and whatever, you just look at them and say, "Merry Christmas." And say it loud too. And if you find one of them microphones hanging down, get on it and holler it through the whole store. And then tell them you go to church somewhere else. All right. No, I'm kidding. They all think we're crazy anyway. I'm done. One of the familiarities of Christmas is a candy cane. I got to doing some research, and the fellow that came up with the original candy cane He wanted to invent a candy that was a witness for the Lord. And the result of the candy cane, first he used hard candy because Jesus Christ is the Rock of Ages. This candy cane is shaped in two ways. It can be a J or a shepherd's staff. And this candy, the J represented Jesus. It was made white because of the purity of Christ. The big red stripe that runs through this is representative of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. And then they added these three little smaller red stripes to it, and that is the stripes that He bore upon the cross of Calvary. Sometimes a green stripe is added because Jesus is the perfect gift from God. The flavor of this candy cane is the peppermint family, which is similar to hyssop. Hyssop is in the mint family and was used in the Old Testament for purification and sacrifice. Can I say this, people? Jesus is the pure Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, which came to be a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Yes, this baby is more than just a baby. This baby was born for one reason and one reason only, and that was to die for the sins of the whole world. Yes, the need of that baby, the nature of that baby, the name of that baby, all points to Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages. God's answer for all ages. Say, preacher, what's the answer? It's Jesus Christ. What's the answer to all of this stuff? What's the answer to the things I'm going through? What's the answer? I don't want to go to hell. Jesus Christ will save His people from their sins. More than just a baby. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, this morning. God, for the virgin.